May God's name be glorified. For our short meditation, may we turn to John chapter 15, Gospel according to John chapter 15. We will read from verse number 12 till verse number 20. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Verse number 14 again. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. May God bless the reading of his precious word. We praise God that so many of us could gather here this morning to worship him and obey his commandments. The hour that we spent just now, just briefly, we could remember our blessed Savior. The words that we read from John chapter 15 are words that are spoken by our blessed Savior. These are words that he spoke on the night he was betrayed. After saying these words, he would go out of the room and he would be betrayed. In verse 14, he says, you are my friend. And then a few moments later, a friend would betray him. I want to speak about friendship. And what does the Bible speak about friendship in the Bible, in his word? It says here, you are my friends, and these are the words of our Savior. It's a topic that has been dealt quite widely in the word of God. There are many people who are spoken as friends. We read about Abraham. He was a stranger. He was a pilgrim upon this earth. But he was no stranger to heaven. Heaven knew him, and it pleased God to give him a rich title. Yeah. What was that title? What was the title given to Abraham in the context of what we are looking at? No, not father of nations. He is called as a friend of God. James chapter 2 and verse 23, he is called as a friend of God. And there are other people who are called as friends. We read about David. He is a shepherd. He had a friend. Who was the shepherd's friend? It was Jonathan. So if Abraham was a friend of God, we read about Jonathan being the friend of David, the shepherd's friend. We read about Job having friend. The sufferer had some friend. Now obviously those friends didn't give him much comfort, but nonetheless Bible calls them friend. We read about, the book of Proverbs would speak about friendship more than any other book in the Bible. There we read a father giving advice to his son about the kind of friends he should keep. Solomon is speaking to some of those things about friendship to his sons. In that context, when we come to John chapter 15, we read about friends again. And we read about the Savior saying, these are my friends. This is not the stranger's friends, this is not the sufferer's friends, but these are the friends of the Sovereign himself. It's a marvelous term, you are my friend. You see, when God created man, you know what the term was? It says, let us. You know, it is God saying, let us. In those terms, there is a plurality in the way it is being put there. God is three persons, isn't it? So we see there, God says, I want to make man in my own image. So when God created man, he created him with certain social abilities. We desire and long to be with each other. And we call ourselves as friends. Even that is the same feeling among unbelievers as well. Even they want friends with them. When we go to school, we have friends there. When the time came for me to select the stream after class 10th, I took something that my friends took. I had no interest in any of those subjects. I just took because my friends took them. I took a subject called engineering drawing. I have absolutely no creativity. I took a subject because my friends were taking that. When we get into college, we see there are friends, a group of friends that we see there. See, man has an ability and a desire to have friends around them. And that is the difference between man and animal. The thing about animals is that they move in a herd. They move in a crowd. But man is social and he too moves in crowd. But the difference is man makes friends around him. Man forms relationships with each other. And some of these friends will last a lifetime. Truly blessed is a man who has a friend, a few friends around him. Isn't it marvelous? The Savior says, you might not be friends of the wealthy, you might not be friends of the socially powerful and the politically powerful, but we have God as our friend. He says, you are my friend. I remember one of my friends was applying for membership to one of the South Bombay clubs. You may have heard about the name of this club. It's a Bombay Gym Club. And it's a club that doesn't open its membership to many people. My friend was very keen to get into this. And he applied for it. And they wouldn't even call him and they wouldn't even talk. Then he went and put the name of a politician on that letter. And then he said, now this is my application. And he still would not get an admission. You see, brethren, some of these clubs and socially powerful groups around the city will never entertain us as a member. The rich will not sit with us. The socially powerful will not want to sit with us. And the political groups they would not want to be with us at all. Some of them might give you some membership, might give you some kind of foothold, but after a certain while, once they know about our character, they might regret that they gave membership to us. We may take great comfort this morning. We are not members of some of these groups and we do not regret that. We are the friends of our Savior, the Sovereign Himself. In the short time that we have, I want to look at the friendship of our Savior. What does it involve? What does it require of? And what does the one in heaven who called us as his friends, what will he do for us as we are his friend? What does the word friend here really mean? The Greek word here would imply, you are my beloved. It gives you the feeling that he is a person who loves God, or the person who is calling his friends, he loves him very much. I don't think it means the social word that we use normally in our language. You are my beloved. You are someone who loved me very much. And God wants to put them a circle and says, you are my friend. It's a marvelous thing to be called as the friends of God. Just a few, just a page later, you would see a man who's called as a friend again. And he's not here when the Lord is saying, you are my friend. And he went out of the room when the Lord said this. And the Lord calls him friend. But that is a different term. It doesn't mean what it means here. And there it means you are an associate. The Lord is calling him with a sarcasm there. He says, friend, I know you, you know me. The Lord knows him very well. But those who are gathered in this room, 11 of them, he calls them friends. I want to look at this word friends. First of all, we must notice that it is in plural. Secondly, we must note the fact that it is personal. You are my friend. Whose friends is this? It is the friends of God's beloved Son. In other words, we are the friends of God Himself. My friend. Secondly, it is plural. Why is that important? Why wouldn't He say, you are friends? Or look at one person and say, you are a friend. Once Judas went out, he looks at 11 of them. All of you are my friend. Who was that group? Who were those 11 that were there in that room? You know, one of them was an Axel. He was a rebel against the government. His title was that. Simon the Zealot. The man who would work against the government. Put him in India, he would join one of these groups against the government. He had a few arms at his home. And we read about another man, but he was a man who was working for the government. Who was that? Matthew the tax collector. He was working for the Romans. Here was one man who was working against the government, one man who was working for the government. Both of them put together. It was one group. There was one thing common among them. They love the Lord. There was a third man. And this man could not, normally such a man would not last much with a tax collector or a tax officer. I think his name is Peter the fisherman. Generally speaking, fishermen and tax officers can never go together. I'm sure you know all about it. They would take money in cash, they would not report any of it. If the tax officer comes to know, he would put a raid on their house. And generally they would bribe the tax officer so that they don't trouble them. So we have a zealot, a man working against the government, a man working for the government, and a man who would not last with one of them much long. This was a diverse group, different kind of people, different customs, different language, different abilities, and it pleased the Savior to call them my friend. You see, when we look at the group here, you know, each one of us, we are different. We are different kinds of people, and yet it has pleased the Savior to call us his friend. You are my friend. Always remember this, brethren. What has drawn us together? We are gathered in whose name? We have gathered in the name of the risen Savior, Lord Jesus. That is the magnet that draws us out of our houses to this place. It is a place where God has put His name, isn't it? It's the place where we gather. It's very important. Some people think it's not very important, just a prayer hall. I don't think so. I think it is a place where God has put His name. And therefore, it's very important that we give importance to the place where we gather. So this is a place where we have gathered, and we are gathered in the name of the Savior. But what has drawn us all together is the man who has called us. He is the magnet who has attracted us. We may not be members of some other groups, you know. And I don't think, you know, while I'm at it, I might as well add, it is not a good thing to be, you wouldn't have much time to be part of any other group. Some people might ask, you know, can I join a political party? You wouldn't have time for any of that if you give your full attention to the first priority group that you have joined. Question should never arise, because your first preference and your first priority is towards a group where you're called as the friends of God. There is no greater group. I was once invited to join a group called the Friends of BJP. They were on an expansion drive over the last 4 years, I believe. And they wanted to become the largest party in the world. They keep organizing their meetings somewhere here. And they kept inviting me, please join us. I said, what do you do? Oh, we have a common cause, Godly. And we want to promote our constitution and our common cause. And I said, I have no time for that. I have a different common cause. And I told them that, you know, I have very little time from the church activities. We are not friends of BJP, we are not friends of Congress, we are not friends of any other group, we are friends of the Sovereign God. The common cause of each one of us, to promote the expansion of the Kingdom of God, that is a common cause. So the first thing that I want to note about the Friends of God is that it is a company of friendship. So it's a group, it's a company, and it is a few gathered together. But what sets them apart? What is the speciality of this group? What is the character of this group? Can I look at another person and say he's part of my group? I think you can. There are things that the person does that is evidence of his membership to the circle and the company of God's friend. Maybe read verse 14 again, the second part of it. If you do whatsoever I command you, oh, this is a mark of the friendship of God. It is the obedience to God's word. It is the obedience to God's Son's voice. And it is the obedience to the counsels of the Holy Spirit. The mark of our membership to the circle and company of God's friend is submission and obedience to His word. Look at the way that word appears there, whatsoever. In other words, everything that I tell you, you have to do. Some people like to do selective obedience. I will do the Sunday morning obedience where I take the ordinance, and after that I will live as I want. My dear believers, what is required is complete submission and obedience to the word of God. Whatsoever I command you. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says that we must offer our bodies to Him as worship. There is no point coming on a Sunday morning and offering a few words of thanksgiving if our body is defiled by lies throughout the week. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says, measure the words that we utter in His presence. And therefore it's important that we, whatsoever He has commanded, we must obey Him. You remember John's gospel would begin with that word, whatsoever I command you. I think the mother at the wedding says, do whatsoever He tells you. Do whatsoever, exactly. I think it is John chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, mother is saying, do whatever He is telling you. Therefore, brethren, the mark of obedience and the mark of friendship to God is that we are obedient to the voice and the word of God. Now, it's important to note that it says, you are my friends. Then it says, if you do whatsoever I command you. In other words, you're already the friends, but the evidence is that you're obedient to me. Now, you must not interpret this verse saying that because you're obedient to the word of God, you become friends. No, He has selected you and made you friends. But then the evidence of that is your obedience. So we must understand the second aspect of friendship to God is the conformity to His word. Everything that He says we must do. People, you know, some of us don't even know what He has said. You know, we don't know what the Lord, we don't know the word of God, so we can live the way we want. We never made the effort to read the word of God, and therefore it is fine because I don't know these things. You are friends, and you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Make every effort. Make every effort to read the word of God daily and read the gospels very specially, especially the words that the Savior uttered, so that we know what we have to be obedient to. The coming of the Lord is very, very near. There is no doubt about it. I think this is the generation that will see the coming of the Lord in the sky. What will you offer to the Lord? Some people have no desire to offer anything. They just want to see Him. I read an email, forwarded email, where a brother in the US was encouraging a brother in India. And he wrote like this that, you know, I know the labor of your love. There are some believers who have something to offer to the Lord. I don't know, brethren, what we are going to offer to the Lord. We must think about this. Because I believe we are the generation that will see the Lord. And as friends, do we have some gifts to give to Him? I think it will greatly comfort our Savior's heart at the effort that some of us believers take for Him. So we looked at two of these things. We've looked at the company of friendship. We've looked at the conformity of friendship. I want to look at the third thing, verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Not only is this company of believers marked by the obedience to the word of God, not only is it a diverse company of believers, but this is a group of believers who will go beyond laying down their life for each other. You know, laying down life, it doesn't take much. It takes one or two bullets and you're gone. What about staying with a person, staying with a group of believers for 40 years, 50 years? Can we stay with them? Can we know their problems? Or are we the kind of people who move around from one denomination to another denomination? Or are we people who would rather not know each other's problems, because that will trouble us a little bit more? I want to look at the seeding or the giving away in friendship, or the sacrifice in friendship. It says here, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life, not for the Lord, for his friends. You see, it says living for each other. The quality of this group, the character of this group, is that we live for each other. The problems of one family becomes the problems of all the members. And the joy of one family becomes the joy of the whole gathering. That is living for each other. That is laying down for each other. Laying down the life, the peace, and the rest that we knew. And once we have get to know each other, we know the problems, it takes away the peace and rest in our life. We are always worried that that person is going through so much. And some brethren might even shed tears for the gathering, because they've lost the peace and the rest that they had before. The laying down for each other. I was doing a little bit of a scan in the New Testament. I wanted to see the number of verses that would speak about one another. Maybe I'm wrong in the number of countings that I've done, but I found at least 20 expressions in the New Testament which speak about one another. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 says, provoke one another. Provoking one another to good work. Then in Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 we read, forbearing one another. Then in Ephesians chapter 4 we read, forgive one another. I'm just looking at some of the main ones. You can do a scan later on. So forgive one another. Then the fourth one was encourage one another. This is all laying down for each other. Then there is a verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9. It says hospitality to one another. And then there is, I think it is 5 times in 1 John that we read, love one another. You see, the love that John is speaking about is not emotional love. It is forced, willful love. We have to love each other. And then we read about comforting one another. That's in 1 Thessalonians. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we would read about the expression comfort one another, edify one another, love one another. Three of them coming together. Loving one another, edifying one another, comforting one another. There are more. This is what the Savior wants us to do. Long-suffering and forbearing with each other. Encouraging each other. Laying down the life for each. This is what is meant when the Savior says, greater love man hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. The seeding in friendship, or the giving away in friendship. Then I want to come to a very important aspect, that's in verse 15. I want to look at the privy of friendship, the code or the secret of friendship. You see, when friends, when there are two friends, they share secrets with each other. We gossip sometimes with each other. We trust each other that the other person would not, open your pole there. We trust each other. That's about friendship. So the mark of a deep friendship is that the friends, they share secrets with each other. And they share codes with each other. Right. You remember one day the Lord himself visited the house of Abraham. Genesis chapter 18, the Lord dropped into his tent unannounced. Sometimes we visit each other, after 3 phone calls, I'm coming today. But the Lord dropped in unannounced into his house. And Abraham, though was surprised, he continued. He did a good host there. But before the day was over that day, and before that chapter was over, you know what the Lord said? Shall I hide this thing that I'm going to do from Abraham? Before the actual execution of the thing, there was a man who knew everything that God was going to do the next day. God shared a secret with his friend. And Abraham knew things that no other man knew on the face of the earth. I believe it is Genesis chapter 18, and the events that happened there is the reason why he got that rich title in James chapter 2, where he's called as a friend of God. The friends, they share secrets with each other. See verse 15, it says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Now look at this. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Just a few minutes back, there was a man who rested his head on the bosom of the Savior. And as he rested, he learned secrets of the Savior that no other man in that room or anywhere else on this earth knew about. The Lord has revealed secrets to each one of us. He has shown us coded details and private details of Himself to us. This is classified information. No one will understand it. The deep things of God's heart has been revealed to us in His Word. That is why at the beginning of the sermon I said this is a privileged group. There are things that we know that no one else know of. We know things like the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking for it. In other words, I'm talking about the rapture itself, which is a blessed hope. Then we are looking forward to the second coming of the Lord. We'll be with the Lord, but we will come with Him. We know things about the millennial reign that will happen upon this earth. We know the three levels of judgment that will come upon this earth. We know the eternal state. We know of the blissful existence of the bridegroom of Lord Jesus Christ. The group here knows a lot more. God has revealed these things to us. And we praise God that we are His friends. That is why we know these things. So the code or the privy of His friendship. Very quickly, two more things. We look at the casting out of His friendship. Verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You see, people who know privileged information, the people who know secrets, they are often chased down by the enemies. People who know important information, the devil will not let them go. Try to know the deep things of the Lord. The difficulties in your life will start to increase immediately. The devil will make sure that you are affected. Not only inwardly, but also outwardly. Try to tell your friends that, you know, I cannot come with you on your, you know, Sunday morning offside. Try telling your corporate group of friends that I cannot have a late night dinner with you. Try telling your friends that you will not be able to attend their picnic, all day picnic on a Sunday. Slowly you will be cast out from them. You know, the Lord has already prophesied these things. In my name, they will hate you. But we can take great comfort that He is our friend. We may lose everything upon this earth. The earthly friendship may all dissolve away. But we have a Savior who is our eternal friend in heaven. I want to look at one last thing. That's verse 16. I want to look at the claims of His friendship. If we call ourselves as His friends, what do we have? It means we are the most powerful people on this earth. We can get anything done. Verse 18, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. As the friends of the sovereign, we have a privileged access into the presence of God. And we have an availability of God's providence. Some of the believers who apply for overseas education, and they have to apply. It's an extended process. One of the things that they have to do is a letter of recommendation, LOR they call it. And the letter of recommendation has to be from a high-profile professor. And it's in the good of the name of that professor that you get an admission in those universities. When we come into the presence of God and ask of Him, we ask in His name. And it's in the good of His name that we are given access to His providence. I like the way the Word of God is structured here. It says, He may give it to you. He may, isn't it? The may is there. It doesn't say He will give you. Some of us pray like this. Lord, You promised me, and therefore I want this. That is not the promise. Promise is, you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Father knows what is important for us. Father knows the kind of things that we need. Therefore, we must rest in His sovereign grace and His sovereign providence all the time. Rest assured, He will give all that is needed to sustain you. Claims of friendship is that we can come into His presence and ask in His name. Before I end, I just want to say one more thing. Never take His friendship for granted. It doesn't mean we become His friends and things will all be okay. There was a man who was called as His friend. He died. I'm talking of John chapter 11, verse 11. The Lord says, Lazarus, my friend, sleepeth. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is visiting Bethany for the second time there. Between His first and second visit, Lazarus died. He was a friend of the Lord. The Lord called him my friend. John the Baptist is called as a friend of the bridegroom. He's the best man. And you see, he was put into the prison. Lord did not even visit him. Head was beheaded. And we read about Lazarus. He's the friend of the Lord. He died. You see, sometimes the friends of the Lord will die. Friends of the Lord may sleep. And they might be persecuted and cast out as well. But you see, when he comes a second time into Bethany, the voice of the Savior resounded there in the tombstone. Lazarus, come out. We see Lazarus coming out. My dear believers, the Savior has been here once. Many have died. Many friends have gone. But He is going to come a second time. And He is going to come in rapturous glory. And at His voice, the ones who are sleeping, the friends who have gone before us, will rise up and will meet us in resurrection glory. That is the claims of friendship. This is what it means to be the friend of God. We may take great comfort this morning that we are called as the friends of the sovereign God. And we have access into His presence. Ask anything of Him. If it is according to will, He will not hold it back. And if it is not good for us, He will hold it back. We must take great comfort. But sometimes some of the friends die, sleep. And the question might come, why did they have to die? And there are hundreds before us have gone before us. But we must always remember, when he comes again, all his friends will rise up again. And we will meet together in resurrection glory. So this is what it means to be the friends of the sovereign. It's a company. It's a gathering. And then what do we read about next? Other? It is the submission of it. The conformity of it. And also the seeding or the giving away in it. We lose rest and peace because we are friends together. And we have been given privileged classified information, which means we are the target of the devil. Finally, we have the claims of friendship. May God bless us with these words.